Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. I do a weekly radio show called Folk and Acoustic Music on WLRN in Miami. And with Dr. Karen Neal, performance storyteller and author, we bring you The Public Storyteller, stories of everyday people who live in South Florida. Karen, what story do we have today?
Michael, here's one from Sarah Friedlander.
So my dad passed away just about 2 months ago, and it was just shy of his 99th birthday. And he was really a very remarkable man. He grew up, started from very humble beginnings. When he was just a baby and his sister was a toddler, his father walked down on him and his mother, leaving behind these two children, and life was was tough for them. But my dad put his head down and he worked hard in school, and he actually skipped 3 grade levels. And then when he finished school, he went into the Army. He was a World War II veteran, and he came out of the Army and he met my mom. They married and had 5 children. Because of the GI Bill, he was able to then go on to college, and he was working during the day and went on to law school at night. When he finished, he actually was offered 2 positions in very prestigious law firms in New York, and he declined those because that just wasn't the life that he envisioned for himself. He really wanted to be there for his children, 5 little children, and he knew that he would be swallowed up a bit if he didn't make that decision. So he opened up his own firm and worked as a tax and corporate lawyer and a CPA. And he was just super loving to us. And as we grew, he was there for us at every turn. When we had school events, he was there sitting in the back because he wanted to be there to support us. He was sitting in the back and he would wave to us. And he was there amongst all the other mothers. And it was just really, they loved having him there as the only father, but we were just so happy to see him there. And my mom worked as a school teacher, and she had very set hours. And while she would have loved to have been there, she really could not get away. But my dad was there for all of our activities during the day. So one thing about my dad is that he loved his martini. He only had one a day, but he really loved that martini. And so when we were young, he taught each one of us how to make it. At the time, it was a glass, and he told us to fill it up with ice and then fill it up with gin and then put vermouth in. And then he told me to put 3 olives in. So that's how I learned it, and that's how we all learned. And every night when he came home, we would hear him in the driveway, or we would hear the key in the door, and we would then just run and make him his drink and greet him at home. So that went on for many years. And after a while, my dad and my mom retired, and they moved to Palm Beach, Florida for 30-odd years. And the nightly martini became a 4 p.m. martini. And he had that same martini, although this time it was a glass and it was filled with ice and it was filled with vodka and a capful of vermouth, but then still the 3 olives. And this went on for years. Eventually, my mom became ill. COVID hit. My mom became ill and she passed away. And my dad then moved to stay and live with my brother in Marietta, Georgia. At that time, my husband and I settled here in East Boca Raton, and my dad called us and said, you know, I love the beach too, and I'd like to come and stay with you. So every winter for the last couple of years, he would come and stay with us for December and January, and gave my brother a little bit of a break and my father a change in scenery, and he would be visiting, and I would make him his martini every night, 4 p.m. I'd take a glass, fill it with ice, fill it with vodka, a capful of vermouth, and 3 olives. And this went on for a couple of years. And then my sister Karen and her husband Larry said that they're going to spend the winter here in Boca Raton as well for the season, and they'll look forward to seeing us. And then when my dad heard, he said, oh my gosh, great, I'm going to spend 4 months in Boca in the sun. And so that was the plan. We would split 2 months, 2 months. Well, the first night when he arrived and he was 98, we realized that we could not support him safely in the condo. My father's eyesight had started to fail a little bit, and he was a little bit unsteady on his feet. And my sister said, this, you know, we just can't work this out to keep him safe. So he settled into assisted living just about 15 minutes down the road from me here in Boca. And every day, my sister and her husband would go and visit him from 10 to 12 and sit and visit. And then I would come from 3:30 to 5:30. And I would be there making his martini at 4 p.m. And it wasn't just me that would go. If it was my husband would come with me, or if the grandchildren, any grandchildren were visiting, or great-grandchildren, or friends would come, we would visit with my dad. And it worked out well. So anyway, I would make his martini at 4 p.m. I would fill up the glass with ice. I would fill it up with vodka, a cap full of vermouth, and three olives. Now, one week, I was going up north to visit my grandchildren, and I asked my sister Debbie to come and stay here and visit with my dad, with our dad. And she said, sure. And then I gave her the routine of what we did when I was there. And then she said, just remind me, how do I make that martini? And it's been so many years. So I gave her the rundown again with the vodka and the vermouth and the three olives. And she said, great. And I go off for the week, and now I come back. And I said, how did everything go? And she said, we really had a lovely visit. It was very nice. But it was funny, the very first day I went to visit, I made him his martini, just as you said. And when I handed it to him, he took a sip. And then he said to me, oh, Sarah showed you how to make the martini. And she said, she did. But how did you know that? And he said, that's because I taught each one of you how to make the martini and to put in a different number of olives, so I would always know who was making my drink. So my dad was a remarkable man, so bright, and we miss him and love him, and we'll have martinis.
Sarah Friedlander, a story about a special relationship with her father.
You know, Michael, I have been running storytelling slams for about 18, 19 years now, and Sarah told this story recently at a slam, and I was so blown away by it that I automatically went up to her and asked her, please record this story for the radio. When people ask me, what is the definition of a story? I'm not going into the long definition, just the short definition is, it's a sequence of events with characters and place, and it's got emotion. There's much, much more to it than that. But the emotion that came out in this story was partly because her father had just died very recently, but also because of the love of this family. And I thought that the olives really showed how special each child was to this dad. This was an unusual dad for that generation.
That little twist at the end with the teaching one daughter how to make the martinis with three and the other daughter the four added such a personal touch that it just made the whole story so special.
May I make a pun? It wasn't a martini with a twist. It was a martini with an olive.
Well, that's how I drink my martinis. With the olives.
And you know I'm big on details, and you know, and I love the fact that he switched from gin to vodka. That was very interesting, but the olives stayed the same. There's something lovely that she, a lot of lovely things that Sarah did in this story, Michael, and one of them was the repetition of the recipe. And that is something that a veteran storyteller would do, reminding you over and over again of that recipe. And you may think, all right, we know how to make a martini. It's not that complicated. Why is she repeating it? And then we realize every detail matters, and the repetition in a story tells us this is important. And sure enough, it was very important, because as far as she knew, that's how you make a martini, three olives.
It reminded me of a riddle that my father used to tell me. And he used to tell me, if you could drink a glass of orange juice every day for 100 years, you'll live to be an old person. Well, if you could drink a martini every day for 99 years, you'll live to be an old person.
That's very funny. And I love the way it reminded you of your father, because, you know, this is the beauty of storytelling, is we hear a story about somebody's father, a story about somebody's love for their father and father's love for them. And it reminds us of our own relationships, and then we share stories, and that's exactly what storytelling is about. And I thought this was a great tribute to him, and I'm so grateful. I'm sorry for Sarah's loss and that of her family, but I am so grateful that she opted to share this tribute to him with us.
And Karen, is there anything else that blown you away about this story?
I hate to go back to these olives, but that is a very strong visual, especially when she says there are five kids in the family. Did one of the kids give five olives? I did not ask her that, but I kept thinking that's a lot of olives in a martini. And I know this is not completely the quintessential Florida story, which we try to bring in to the public storyteller, but it is in one way at least, and that is the parents growing older and spending more time in Florida, and the families recognizing, as happens a lot here, recognizing the importance of being together. And I felt like I know people like this here and know families like this here. And the story just made me feel so good. And I think that that's the best kind of story to tell after someone dies is stories where you celebrate their lives. And this one did.
Well, thank you for bringing that story in, Karen. Do we have a storytelling slam coming up?
We do, and who knows, somebody telling a story at the Storytelling Slam may just end up here on the Public Storyteller, although you certainly don't have to. The next slam is at the Boca Raton Public Library, 400 Northwest 2nd Avenue. That's on August 17th at 3 p.m., 3 to 4:30. It's always a good idea to check the website, bocalibrary.org, just to make sure there aren't any blips, but it's free and it's a wonderful way to share your stories. And even if you don't have one, to get to know people and to listen to great, true life stories.
Karen, how can we get in touch with you?
Email me to tell me that you'd like to record on the Public Storyteller or for information about the slam or anything else related to storytelling at cneile@fau.edu. That's cneile at F as in Frank, au.edu.
Dr. Karen Neal is a performance storyteller and author. And my name is Michael Stock. Thanks for tuning in to the Public Storyteller, heard every month here on WLRN.